Hello and welcome to this episode of the EMS Authors podcast series brought to you by Jones and Bartlett Learning. My name is Bill Kimball. We're speaking today with Rhonda Beck, author of AEMT Transition Manual. Rhonda Beck has worked in public safety since 1985. She wrote the first edition AAOS textbook, Intermediate Emergency Care and Transportation of the Sick and Injured, as well as a second edition, Advanced Emergency Care and Transportation of the Sick and Injured, second edition. She has served as a contributor in various other publishing projects. She is a paramedic and EMT intermediate and instructs in both of these areas. She also instructs in ACLS, ITLS, Pediatric ITLS, PALS, and GEMS, and serves on the Georgia State Committee for ITLS. She was a volunteer firefighter for 9 years. Many of the emergency and injury photos in Intermediate Emergency Care and Transportation of the Sick and Injured and Advanced Emergency Care and Transportation of the Sick and Injured, second edition, have been taken by Rhonda during her work in the field. Well, thanks for joining us today, Rhonda.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
I'd like to begin by asking if you could tell us a little bit about why you decided to author the AEMT Transition Manual.
Well, actually, I was the author of the EMT Intermediate, the one that's written to the 85 and the 99 curriculum, as well as the AEMT. So I'm very familiar with the curriculum for both and the differences in the two. Plus, as an instructor myself, I've been teaching for years, I know what works and what doesn't in the classroom, and as an instructor, what I like to see. So, you know, that gives me a little more insight than someone that's just coming in with no experience in the EMS arena.
Well, thank you. Can you highlight some of the key differences in the EMT Intermediate curriculum and the AEMT National Education Standards?
Sure. There are several new chapters that were actually added. I guess the material itself overall is not new, but just the way it's presented is. There's actually now a medical overview, which gives you an assessment and management of various medical complaints, how you're going to transport this patient, and then a big thing with the AEMT is destination decisions. You know, where are you going to take this patient to? If we're talking about someone who's critical, who needs immediate surgical intervention, you know, this is a patient that's not going to need to go to the local ER. They're going to need, a massive trauma center or something like that so that they can get the definitive care that they need. There's also more of an awareness of patients that actually have infectious diseases, those that might be infected with bloodborne pathogens. Of course, the big thing now, the MRSA, the antibiotic-resistant infections, and then also those things that are prevalent in the community that just are new on the horizon or basically new in the healthcare arena. For the trauma overview, pathophysiology has pretty much been increased in every chapter, and also assessment management of the patient. Big thing, again, is destination. You know, trauma is a surgical disease, and ultimately, you know, we can treat those things that we can see in the field, but when it's internal injuries, getting those patients to the right place within the right time frame is what's going to make the difference. So big key on transportation mode and then destination. Recognizing and managing multi-system trauma, and then also the pathophysiology assessment and management of not only the multi-system trauma, but blast injuries. A new section that was added is lifespan development. And basically, this just gives us a fundamental knowledge of the lifespan and patient assessment and management for all of the various age groups. And we've always dealt with pediatrics and geriatrics. This is just a little bit more comprehensive. Then there's also new areas that were added or renamed from the EMT intermediate to the AEMT, such as urologic emergencies, which was added in with gastrointestinal, and really keys on things like blood pressure assessment in patients that get hemodialysis, in complications with renal dialysis, those that have urinary catheters, kidney stones, things of that nature. And another new section that was added was hematologic emergencies, which now is included in the endocrine emergencies section. And we see more emphasis on things like sickle cell crisis and clotting disorders, those who have hemophilia and those types of illnesses. And then just, like I said, some of the terminology has changed a little bit. We see some different terminology with patient assessment. We've gone back and forth between, you know, primary assessment, initial assessment. Now, allergic reactions is called immunologic emergencies. So all of the old material, for the most part, is still there. We just kind of changed some of the verbiage. On an AEMT level now, there's multiple medications that can be given directly out of a drug box, where primarily with the EMT I-85, most of the medications that were allowed to be administered were those that the patient had that was prescribed for the patient and could be given with a doctor's orders. Now, there's a whole list. There's albuterol, aspirin, epinephrine, D50, glucagon, oral glucose, Narcan, nitroglycerin, all that can be given directly out of the drug box with a doctor's orders and, of course, following your local protocol. And then, of course, oxygen. For places who have nitrous oxide, this is now in the scope of practice for the AEMT, and then also the fluids such as lactated ringers, normal saline, and 5% dextrose. On the respiratory side, CPAP is, of course, the latest intervention for the AEMT, and CPAP being non-invasive provides ventilatory support for those patients who are in severe respiratory distress. So this is also covered in the new material, and you'll also see it in the transition manual. As far as the intermediate 99, which now will be upgraded for the most part, those who are I-99s will go on to paramedic, is the general pathway that they'll follow. The things that were removed from the EMTI to the AEMT are intubation, the cardiac monitoring, rhythm recognition, and all of the cardiac things that go along with that, like cardioversion, transcutaneous pacing, and then any of the medications that were associated with cardiac issues, such as atropine, sodium bicarbonate, and then also needle thoracostomy or chest decompression, which was an I-99 level skill but is not in the AEMT level. So, like I said, a lot of it, for the most part, you're going to see is going to be on the pathophysiological level and the patient assessment, and then the addition of those new drugs and the CPAP.
Well, building off your response on the differences in the curriculum, can you give us a brief overview of the features of the textbook?
Sure. It will not be divided up exactly as the AEMT textbook or the EMTI. There's 22 chapters, and it's going to follow a very similar format to the basic EMT transition manual. There's, again, some areas that are going to be combined, like some of your trauma chapters, instead of being an individual chapter, now will be a section. There's a preparatory section instead of an actual operations chapter or, each individual one, an introductory chapter. Each one starts out with an introduction and also has the National EMS Education Standard along with a little paragraph that says review, which gives you sort of an explanation of this is kind of what you should already know, and then what's new. This is what's new in the curriculum. And then each chapter will also end with a prep kit, just like the all of the other textbooks, which just give you a basic review of that chapter or of that section.
So how would an instructor go about offering an AEMT bridge course?
Well, initially, what they would have to do is check with their state office of EMS to find out exactly what the requirements would be. And for National Registry to upgrade from EMT I-85 to the AEMT, they will actually have to complete a state-approved transition course and will also have to take the practical exam within the state. Once they've completed that and they've gotten a certificate from an approved program, then they would take the cognitive exam for National Registry. And again, it's on a state-by-state basis is what the requirements are. There are certain sections that have to be covered, and you can actually find out the specific requirements at nremt.org. The National Registry website shows exactly the sections that have to be covered and then the practical skills that have to be covered. But everyone will... that wants to upgrade, like I said, will have to go through a state-approved transition course, and then once they take the National Register exam or state exam, depending on which state they're in, will either have their, if they want the AEMT, the National Registry AEMT certification, then they would apply for reciprocity in their state just like they would with any other exam.
And finally, if an educator is unclear about what is going on with the AEMT transition in their state, who would you recommend they contact?
Definitely the state office, or depending on how the state is set up, we have our state, of course, in Georgia is divided into regions. So we have regional offices. So you could go through the regional office if you had a basic question. Ultimately, for Georgia, it's the state office of EMS that approves the courses and sets forth the requirements. So the big thing for anyone to remember is that a national certification is not a license to practice. You know, it just says that you have completed that exam, and you have to go to each individual state in order to find out what the requirements are for you to practice in that particular state. And there's also a section on the National Registry website that will link you to your state office and give you the specific requirements or give you the contact information of who you need to speak with. But anyone who has any questions, that would definitely be the place to start.
Well, great. Thank you again for joining us today, Rhonda. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you very much.
Well, that concludes this episode of the EMS Authors Podcast series. We've been speaking with Rhonda Beck, author of AEMT Transition Manual. To learn more about this textbook or to request a complimentary review copy, visit go.jblearning.com/AEMT transition. That's go.jblearning.com/AEMT transition. Jones & Bartlett Learning, a division of Ascend Learning, is a world-leading provider of instructional, assessment, and learning performance management solutions for the secondary, post-secondary, and professional markets. To learn more about Jones & Bartlett Learning, visit the corporate website at www.jblearning.com.